chéad an neapraú doa go romóra toma bina cé dae anu jagat sam sáire the bravo na pai ve a ha bravo chenanda remananda su
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Acharya Alsa Tata Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Avaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrindagijai Namacharya Shidahoyidas Thakur Kichai Prem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Kadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindagijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kichai Vrindavanam Kichai Maturidam Kichai Jagannatha Swami Gajai Yamunamai Gajai Srimati Lasi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharani Nevashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejatarni Saomagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shilakya Takshura Nriditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Gijai. So we're continuing to study from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila Chapter 13, about the Lord's dancing and interactions during the Ratha Yatra festival. So without further ado, we'll go on to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we're continuing to read from the 13th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're on text 139. Okay, and we're reading about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of separation. Of course, as we mentioned many times before, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. But he's Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna, feeling separation from himself. And Lord Jagannath is Krishna, who is feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. So it's Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna, and Krishna in the mood of Krishna, who is feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. No, Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Anyway, I think you all got it. And so this interaction is going on during the Ratha Yatra between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and Krishna as Radha. Purve Udvadvare Ebe Sakshanamare Yoga Jnane Rikahila Upaya Tumi Vitagda Kripamaya Janaha Maharidhya More Ache Kahite Nayuyaya. My dear Krishna, formerly when you were staying at Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and mystic yoga. Now you yourself are speaking the same thing, but my mind does not accept it. There is no place in my mind for jnana yoga or jnana yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in jnana yoga and jnana yoga. It is not right for you to do so. So Jnana Yoga means, basically, of course, yoga means connection with the Absolute, but by the process of Jnana, Jnana means knowledge, technically, okay? But in this particular case, it means the knowledge of detachment. For example, you're not the body. You're undergoing reincarnation. You have to be detached from this material world. But without bhakti, it doesn't work because you can't become attached or detached. You can't without becoming attached to something else. Just like I've often said, you can't do a don't or do not. And Jnana Yoga means meditation, such as the Eightfold Process of Ashtanga Yoga, Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pratyahara, Dharana, Jhana, and Samadhi. So one is engaged in bhakti yoga. What does Krishna say in the sixth chapter of the Gita? Yoginam api sarvesham adgate nantaratmana chatavam vashate yomam saome yuktatamo madaha. One who is engaged in worshipping me with full faith, he's considered to be the best of all yogis. Sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita. The process of mystic yoga, the speculative method for searching out the Supreme Absolute Truth, does not appeal to one who's always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. In other words, trying to figure it out yourself. Or the process of niti-daiti. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind. Can't figure it out. What am I? A devotee is not at all interested in speculative activities. Instead of cultivating speculative knowledge or practicing mystic yoga, a devotee should worship the deity in the temple and continuously engage in the Lord's service. Temple deity worship is realized by the devotees to be the same as direct service of the Lord. The deity is known as the Archa Viguraha or Archa Avatara, an incarnation of the Supreme Lord in the form of the material manifestation, brass, stone, or wood. Also in the mind or sand, like that. Ultimately, there's no difference between Krishna manifest in matter or Krishna manifest in spirit, because both are as energies, or paper, for example. Yes, it is a fact. When you have a picture of Krishna, Krishna is there in the picture. It's a very important point to understand. So we respect the pictures, we respect the books. Krishna is there in the book. Krishna manifests himself through matter. That's called avatara. Avatara means to cross down to this material world. Krishna comes down to the material world. Why? To save us. For Krishna, there's no distinction between matter and spirit. His manifestation in material form, therefore, is as good as original form, such as Ananda Vigraha, Brahma Sanghita, 5th chapter, text 1. So what is matter? Or what is Maya, what is matter anyway? Of course, you could say it's Panchamahabhuta, you know, earth, not only that, but the subtle material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. But material basically means things seen without a connection to Krishna. If one sees everything as a connection to Krishna, then one sense everything can be seen spiritually. And one sees things without connection to Krishna, those things that one sees are material. Vritayritam na pratyayita na pratyayita chakmani tadvidyad atmanavamayam yata basha yata tamaha. A devotee constantly engaged in deity worship according to the rules and regulations laid down in the shastras and given by the spiritual master gradually realizes that he is in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he loses all interest in so-called meditation, yoga practice, and mental speculation. It just becomes boring. It's not that he is averse to those things. Meditation, okay, go for it. Yoga, yeah, it's fine. And mental speculation. He can use those things to bring people to Krishna consciousness, sure. We have devotees who teach yoga, who teach meditation, who teach, well, not mental speculation, but who teach philosophy at the university, and their whole business is to bring people to Krishna. But ultimately, when one is engaged in chanting Krishna's names and worshiping Krishna in love and devotion, one becomes nirapeksha, disinterested in other things. It's just boring. It's just like, all right, let me use a mundane example like I like to use. Let's say a young boy or a young girl is in love. Then they become disinterested in their schoolwork, unfortunately. Disinterested in their future. Even things that are important to them, they become disinterested in. So when one's in love with Krishna, there is disinterest. So it's really important for a devotee to function well in this world to see how everything is connected to Krishna. That's called Yukta Vairagya. If one doesn't understand the principle of Yukta Vairagya, one will become dysfunctional in this world because he or she becomes so disinterested in everything. You have to see how everything is connected to Krishna. For example, sometimes people go to the university and they become Krishna conscious and they say, why am I going to the university? Well, you have to connect it to Krishna. Then you become more enthusiastic about going to the university and you do better at the university when you understand the connection, the reason, the why that you're doing that. That's really important. Every single one of your activities, practically speaking, you can connect to Krishna somehow or other. And then you remain enthusiastic and normal in this world. A devotee should not be abnormal. Chitakari tamahaite vishaye chahi lagaite yatnakari nari kari bare tari jana sikshakaraha lokaha sanamara stanashtana nakara vichare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage in material activities, but even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way, you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. So let me explain what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying here. In the beginning stages of devotional service, this is also described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when you try to think of Krishna, then your mind goes to not Krishna. Just like you're chanting your rounds. I'm sure you've all experienced this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Boom! The mind goes to, what am I going to eat this morning? I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. I need a vacation. You know, the mind goes to so many places, right? That's in the immature stage. But when one is more mature, then when one tries to think of illusion, then the mind automatically goes back to Krishna. So it's a real struggle to think of illusion. What do I mean by that? Let's say you want to think of some politician who should remain nameless to protect the guilty. I want to think of him, but then my mind just won't think of him. Because my mind just keeps gravitating to Krishna. I can't force my mind away from Krishna. So that's the opposite of what we're experiencing. We can't force our mind away from illusion to Krishna. It stays with Krishna for half the mantra, half the Maha Mantra, and the other half it stays with Maya. So an advanced devotee, he's always with Krishna and he can't force the mind to think of Maya. This is interesting. Sri Rupa Goswami says that it's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the nutshell verse 1.1.11. For a pure devotee, there is no scope for indulgence in mystic yoga practice or the cultivation of speculative philosophy. It is indeed impossible for a pure devotee to engage his mind in such unwanted activities. Even if a pure devotee wanted to, his mind would not allow him to do so. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be on that platform that, you know, even I would like to think of Maya, but can't do it. Can't do it, Prabhu. That is the characteristic of a pure devotee. He is transcendental to all fruit of activity, speculative philosophy, mystic yoga, meditation. The gopis therefore express themselves as follows. So I'll give you an example, practical example. From my own life, I was just visiting our temple in Orlando, Florida. And if you don't know what Orlando, Florida is, that is where Disney World is and all sorts of other attractions. And one of my disciples there said, Guru Maharaj, if you like, I will take you to all these attractions. And I said, no. It's boring. And so I refused. Not because I didn't have any, had something against all those attractions. It was just like, I can't get my mind there. It was impossible to put my mind on something that wasn't related to Krishna. I just couldn't do it. Someone would have to tie me up and, you know, put a gag in my mouth or something like that to get me to do those things. So, Nahi Gopi Yogeshwara. I mean, let's give the example of Haridas Thakur, okay? Haridas Thakur was confronted with Maya Devi herself. Maya Devi herself means the material energy, the personification of the material energy, all the attractive features of the material energy. And he was not at all interested. It was like she was crying out in the wilderness with nobody there. And finally she surrendered and became a disciple of Haridas Thakur. He initiated her in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Can you imagine Haridas Thakur, born in a Muslim family, initiated Durga Devi? Isn't that proof that Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Shudra Kena Noi, Ye Krishna Tattva Veda, say Guru Hoy? That it doesn't matter what one's gender is, it doesn't matter what one's background is. If one knows Krishna, what does it mean to know Krishna? Not just theoretical knowledge, but to actually have realized Jnana Vigana Sahitam. Nahi Yogi Nahi Gopi Yogeshra Kapada Kamala Tomara Janakari Paivesantosha Tomara Vakya Paripati Karamaje Kutinati Shuni Gopira Haro Pade Rosha. The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are instructed to undergo mystic yoga practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. As Krishna did tell the gopis that too, just think of me. Just think of me. And they said, no. So Srila Prabhupada Sarasati has stated the Chaitanya Chandramrita, number 5. This is another famous verse. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasya pura kasha pushpayate durdatendriya kala sarpa patali rokhata tanstrayate vishwam purna sukayate viri medendradish Chakirtayate Yatkarunya Kataksha Vaibhava Vatam Tam Goram Evastu Maha. For a pure devotee who has realized Krishna consciousness through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the monistic philosophy, that means where everything is one, losing your identity, merging into the existence of the Lord, the Brahmajyoti, or whatever, by which one becomes one with the Supreme, appears hellish. Why is it hellish? Because you lose all sense of sort of consciousness. You can't have fun. You can't even suffer. Well, you suffer by not having the happiness, but it's just like coma. You're like intubated, spiritually intubated. That's a funny expression. The mystic yoga practice by which the mind is controlled and the senses are subjugated is also appears ludicrous to a pure devotee. The devotee's mind and senses are already engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. In this way, the poisonous effects of sensory activities are removed. If one's mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord, there's no possibility that one will think, feel, or act materially. Similarly, the fruit of workers' attempt to attain to the heavenly planets is nothing more than a phantasmagoria for the devotee. After all, the heavenly planets are material, and in due course of time, they will all be dissolved. Devotees do not care for such temporary things. They engage in transcendental devotional activities because they desire elevation to the spiritual world, where they can live eternally and peacefully and with full knowledge of Krishna. In Vrindavana, the gopis, cowherd boys, and even the calves, cows, trees, and water are fully conscious of Krishna. They are never satisfied with anything but Krishna. Another problem with the heavenly planets, which Prabhupada doesn't even mention here, actually several problems in the heavenly planets. One problem is that everything is so good you forget about the purpose of life until it's too late, number one. And number two is when your good karma runs out. Apart from the heavenly planets being temporary, the Bhagavad Gita tells us, Shine Punya Macha Lokam Vishanti, you come down to this earth planet again. So in other words, you only stay there as long as your bank account of good karma is there. And then you come down here, and you got to work again to build up your bank account of good karma. Then you go up again, then down. It's like a yo-yo-yo-yo. All right. Deya smriti nahi yara samsara kupa kahantara tahate na chahi udhara pura samudra chale kamati mingile gile gopi gane neha tarapara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the gopis have fallen into the great ocean of separation, are being devoured by the timangila fish of their ambition to serve you. So a timangila fish is actually described as such a big fish, it can swallow whales. It is such a big fish. So it's like the biggest fish available. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timangila fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by yogis and jnanis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence. In other words, if you're remembering Krishna, even though you may have a body in this world, you're liberated. And that's called jivan mukta, liberated even within this lifetime. So you don't have to worry about what happens at the time of death, because you can have it right now. The bodily conception is created by the desire for material enjoyments. Wow. That's a key phrase. We identify with the body because we want to enjoy it. Just like we identify with the car because we want to enjoy it. Just like today, I went on a walk and then I looked at my car and I identified with it because I wanted to enjoy it. Anything you want to enjoy separate from Krishna. And you can't enjoy matter because you are spirit. It's an illusion to think that you can enjoy matter. It's like enjoying a stuffed toy and thinking a stuffed toy is a real person. This is called Viparyo Smitihi, which is the opposite of real life. The living entity is eternally the servant of Krishna, but when he desires to enjoy the material world, he cannot progress in spiritual life. One can never be happy by advancing materially. This is, you can think you're happy, but then you're going to be what? Bhukti Mukti Siddhikam Sakale Ashanta. You're going to be unpeaceful, which is the Sanskrit word, or agitated, which is the English word. Your mind is always going to be in anxiety. The fact, this material world is a world of kunta, anxiety. And so the spiritual world is called Vaikuntha, that place which has no anxiety. This is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:30. Andhanda gobir pishatam tamishram bhunak purnaschar vidachar vananam. This is an interesting verse. Prahlad Maharaj says that one who has uncontrolled senses, one becomes ignorant, and engages in the same activity again and again, or chewing the already chewed, which is the direct translation, thinking that one will get a different result the next time. It's like Yudhisthira Maharaj in the gambling game, and he was thinking that he was going to win. Next time I'm going to win. Next time Shakuni is going to make a mistake or is not going to roll the dice properly. So next time, next time, next time. But next time never came and he lost everything. So that's the material world. We are playing dice in this material world with someone who's more expert than Shakuni. See, Shakuni had what? Loaded dice. For those of you who don't know what loaded dice means, it means if you have these dice and they're weighted in a certain way, they're not equally weighted on all the different sides, that's real dice, but they're weighted on a certain side, then depending on how you throw them, if you're really expert, you can determine how they're going to land. That's called weighted dice. And Shakuni had these weighted dice. So Maya has these weighted dice against us, and we keep throwing the dice, or Maya keeps throwing the dice, or whoever throws the dice, and we always lose. But next game, next time, that's gambling. Next time we're going to win? No. Next time? No. And then you finally end up losing everything. And what do you lose? What do you lose? What so profiteth the man if he loses his eternal soul? That's from the Bible. Through the uncontrolled senses, one may advance one's hellish condition. It's interesting that one may advance one's hellish. He may continue to chew the chew that is repeatedly accept birth and death. You know, how many times have I been born? How many family members have I had? How many countries have I served? How many times have I gone to school? How many mothers and fathers have I had? Whew. It gets boring. It gets to you after a while. The conditioned souls use the duration of life between birth and death only to engage in the same hackneyed activities. Hackneyed means like boring activities, you know, just like stereotypical activities. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's a typical thing that we tell people in this world. That people in this world are, and animals, are eating, sleeping, mating, defending. People are eating, sleeping, mating, defending in a more sophisticated way than animals. Just like a pig. If you've been in India, a pig just puts his nose into the stool. And so we put our nose into a nice pizza or something like that. Of course, if it's prasadam, it's different. But, you know, I'm just making an example here. Or the pig is having his relationships and we're having our relationships. Of course, I don't think pigs take intoxication. Probably not. Anyway, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In the lower animal species, we find the same activities. Since these activities are repeated, engaging in them is like chewing that which has already been chewed. If one can give up his ambition to engage in hackneyed material life and take to Krishna consciousness instead, he will be liberated from the stringent laws of material nature. Stringent means you can't get out of them. One does not need to make a separate attempt to become liberated. If one simply engages in the service of the Lord, he will be liberated automatically. As Srila Bilvamangal Thakur says, therefore, mukti swayam mikulitanjali sevate swaman. Liberation stands before me with folded hands begging to serve me. Here's some ecstatic words. Vrindavana Govardhana Yamuna Pulina Vana Sekunje Rasadika Lila Sevrajera Vrajajana Matapita Bandugana Vada Chitra Kemana Pasarila. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan. And how is it that you have forgotten your father, mother, and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Yamuna, and the forest where you enjoyed the Rasa Leela dance of the gopis That is, Lord Chaitanya in the mood of the gopis in the mood of Srimati Radharani is addressing Krishna like this. How is it that you've forgotten these things? Whoops, hold on a second. I forgot to set up the screen in a certain way. Anyway, no harm. So, next text. Vidagdamurdu sadguna sushila snigda karuna tumi tamara nahi dosha basa taviye tumara mana nahi smare vrajajana se amara durdaiva vilasa. Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft hearted, and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavana. This is only my misfortune and nothing else. So here you find Radharani, that is Lord Chaitanya, the mood of Radharani, getting angry at Krishna. Nad ganiya panaduka deki vrajeshvara mukha raja janera hridayai vidare kiva mara vrajavasi kiva jayau vrajaye asi kena jayau duka sahai bhare. I do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Yashoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all or do you want to enliven them by coming here. Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? Say, heavy accusations. Why have you betrayed us? You know, so there's a mood of man or anger there in Radharani's voice, spoken through the mouth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tumara ye anyavesha, anyasanga anyadesha, prajajane kabu nahi bhaya, prajabhumi charite nare, toma na kile mare, prajajane raki hai habe. Upaya. The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want you to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence, they are all dying. What is their condition to be? Of course, Vrindavan is none different than Krishna, so they cannot leave, you know, leaving Vrindavan to be with Krishna, it would not work. And actually, outside of Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't manifest himself as Vrajendranandana. He manifests himself as a king, and they're not interested in that at all. In the Lalita Madhava, we find Radharani, who is, let's say, she has left Vrindavan. This is a very wonderful play by Srila Rupa Goswami. And she's placed in the palace in Dwarka. And of course, at that point, her name is Satyabhama. And she doesn't recognize Krishna. She thinks, you know, he may be king, but I'm not interested in that guy. I'm interested in Krishna Vrindavan. And she prefers to worship a deity of Krishna in this place called Nava Vrindavan, which is a replica of Vrindavan, rather than be with the king who is called Krishna. Of course, later on, the king who's called Krishna reveals himself to be Krishna, and there's more to the story than that. And if you're interested, you could hear the the Lita Madhava by going on ISKCON Desire Tree and listening to my narration of the Lita Madhava. It's a very beautiful narration. Tumi Brajera Jivana Rajadra Jera Pranadana Tumi Brajera Sakala Sampad Kriparada Tomaramana Asi Jayao Brajachana Brajayudaya Karao Nijapada. My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavanadam. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. Wow, this is a volume of intense hankering. So Prabhupada here explains that Srimati Radharani did not express her personal unhappiness of being separated from Krishna. She wanted to evoke Krishna's feelings for the condition of all the others in Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the coward boys, the gopis, the birds, and the bees on the banks of the Yamuna, the water of the Yamuna, the trees, the forests, and all of the other paraphernalia associated with Krishna before he left Vrindavan for Mathura. These feelings of Srimati Radharani were manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he invited Lord Jagannath, Krishna, to return to Vrindavan. That is the purport of the Rath Yatra cars going from Jagannath Puri to the Gundicha Temple. And we've spoken about that many times before. Gundicha Temple represents Vrindavan. Jagannath Puri Temple represents Dwarka. And sometimes Mathura. But actually Dwarka. And so the gopis, they want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that's the mood in which one performs the Rath Yatra ceremony. As you're pulling the cart, you're assisting the gopis in bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Remember that. It's the highest service, to be a servant of the gopis. You should remember that while you're dancing and chanting in front of Lord Jagannath. I'm bringing you back to Vrindavan. And the interesting thing is that Srila Prabhupada wanted to have this most intimate, at least the understanding of it is very intimate, this most intimate pastime on the streets of every city in the world. You know, New York, Los Angeles, you know, Sydney, all the streets, important streets in the world, Prabhupada wanted to have this most intimate pastime, because when this most intimate pastime is going on, the Lord exhibits the topmost mercy, compassion. Whew. And so anyone who comes in touch with Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra will go back to Godhead. Shuniya Radhikavani Raja Prema Manayani Bhave Vyakulita Deyamana Raja Lokera Prema Shuni Apanake Rini Mani Kari Krishna Tandra Ashvasana. After Lord Krishna heard Srimati Radharani's statements, his love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents of Vrindavan. Then Krishna began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. Wow. Such intimate exchange. I mean, if you're talking about elevated subject matters or intimate exchanges, this is the pinnacle. Anapriye, the dearmost of my life. Prabhupada translates that as, oh my dearmost, but it's actually the dearmost of my life air. Shuna, that means here. Mora, e satyavachana. This is a true statement. Don't believe me. Don't disbelieve me, sorry. That's actually funny. Atoma. Sabara smarane, by remembrance of this, Juran Muni Ratri Dene, you should remember, cry day and night, Mora Dukha Najane Kona Jana. I do not, my distress does not know anyone else, or I do not know anyone else that makes me so unhappy. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I'm speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply by remembering all you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. Wow. It's true. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's described that when Krishna is sleeping at night and his wives are sleeping next to him, at night and he is crying out the names of the gopis and the names of the residents of Vrindavan, and his wives are getting really upset. You know, especially Satyabhama. He's crying out, Radha, Radha. And Satyabhama's wife is laying there and thinking, oh no, this husband of mine. She gets angry. It is said, Vrindavanam paritya Padamekam Nagachati, in one sense, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. That's the Brahma Samhita, first verse in the fifth chapter, does not even take one step away from Vrindavan. However, in order to take care of various duties, Krishna had to leave Vrindavan. So how do you reconcile that? or Krishna remains in Vrindavan and he expands himself to leave Vrindavan. But when he remains in Vrindavan, it's a prakriti. He's not manifest, but he's there. Invisible. But his presence is there. Even today, Krishna's presence is there in Vrindavan. If you go there, you will feel his presence if you're a little soft-hearted. He had to go to Mathura. He expanded to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. And then he was taken by his father to Dwarka, where he was busy with state affairs and disturbances created by demons. Krishna was away from Vrindavan, and he was not at all happy, as he plainly disclosed to Srimati Radharani. She is the dearmost life and soul of Sri Krishna, and he expressed his mind to her as follows. Wow, let's just read this. It's too ecstatic. Brajabasi yatajana matapita sakagana sabihaya mora prana sama tanra madye gopikana sakshat mora jivana tumi mora jivanera jivana. Sri Krishna continued, all the inhabitants of Brajadam, my mother, father, coward boyfriends, and everything else are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. And among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. Wow. Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities in Vrindavan. Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani, and therefore all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant, what? Jai Radhe, 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 Jai Radhe. From Krishna's own statement given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and Krishna is Krishna is simply her decoration. I got to remember this. Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and then Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, but Srimati Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna. Consequently, Srimati Radharani is called Madana Mohana Mohini, the enchanter of the enchanter of Cupid. So Krishna is her decoration. That is so incredible. Okay, so on that note, I mean, I don't think I can continue anyway after hearing that. So on that note, I am going to write down where we left off. And we left off at 150, that's easy to remember, 150. And tomorrow we'll continue. Okay, well, yeah, I should make an announcement. Should make an announcement before I take questions. Okay, so here, oh no, actually we will do Chaitanya Charitamrita tomorrow. And then after that we have a program for Bhakti Chumar's appearance. At 6 o'clock our time. Okay, so I don't need to make the announcement. Okay, so does anyone have any questions or comments or doubts or arguments? Praneshra.
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Praneshra. I haven't seen you for a long time. So, what's up?
Yes, Gurudev, like when we have the realization of boring,
relation of what?
Then realization of boring, like.
Yeah, a boring, yeah.
So.
When you can have the realization? When you love Krishna. If you're madly in love with Krishna, everything else is boring. But until then, it appears to be interesting. All right, where are you now?
In Delhi, Gurudev, near to IIT.
Oh, you're near IIT. Okay, your old school. Okay, Delhi. There's no problem with the virus there in India now, or?
No, everything is open.
Really? So people wearing masks or anything, or no?
Yes, only in metro when we travel, not outside.
What about in school, in the university? People wearing.
In the classroom they wear the mask.
Okay, good. So at least they're intelligent. They wear masks when they're in rooms,
yes.
Closed rooms.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. They're actually very intelligent. Okay. Okay, who else has a question? Good to see you. You look happy now. Happy, happy, happy. Okay, so let's get a question from someone else now.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam Maharaj, this is Abhiram. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, good to see you. So, I'm fine. So, you have a question?
I do have a question, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, on the day of Radha Ashtami, I got one question, you know. When we are saying Radharani is an Antaranga Shakti of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Okay.
Yes.
So, how? Well, Krishna is energetic and Radharani is energy. How an energy can control Krishna? That is the thing.
Because this energy is completely dedicated to pleasing Krishna. Let's give a mundane example. Let's say someone has children. And if those children are so devoted to the father, then by their love, the children are in one sense the energy of the father, right? So if they're so devoted to the father, the father actually becomes overwhelmed with love for the children. And if they ask the father for something, the father will get it for them. I'll give you an example, my own life. When I was young, I showed love for my father. And I asked my father for a sports car, and he got it for me. He became controlled by my manipulation. Oh, but by my love. So he became controlled by my love. So it's a natural, like parents can be controlled by the love of the children. The wife can control the husband by her love, or vice versa. So it's natural, even though someone may be in a subservient position, you can actually control someone by your devotion and love. And of course, in the material world, there's perverted reflections of that. Like if you go to a salesman, let's say a car dealership, I don't know if people do that anymore. The car dealer acts like he loves you, he loves your family, he's very interested in you. And as a result, you actually buy something from him. you can actually be controlled by love. So this is a normal thing. So Radharani is Krishna's energy, and she's eternal. It's not that she was created at any point, just like we were never created at any point. We're Sanatana, she's Sanatana. So she, by her nature, loves Krishna so much that she can control Krishna. And Krishna becomes the ornament. And Krishna wants that. That's his enjoyment, to be controlled by Radharani. Because everyone wants that loving exchange where there's pure love between the lover and the beloved, and the reciprocation. So Krishna is controlled not only by Srimati Radharani, Krishna can be controlled by you. If you have pure love for Krishna, then that's one of the qualities of pure devotional service. It's the only means of attracting Krishna, mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, good question. So here's another question. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisance. I was wondering, what do we do when we are in between being more Krishna conscious but need more extra pushes to get over the limbo state? Hear about Krishna, and that's the extra push. Otherwise, if you don't hear about Krishna, then you get extra kicks from Krishna's material energy. Therefore, Krishna says, or the Bhagavatam says, actually Krishna speaking, yasyaham anugrinami harishye tadanam shanai. When I give some special mercy, I take away things, and people start to disrespect that person, and then the person is only left with the chanting of the Lord's holy names. So when we realize that the only shelter, ultimate shelter we have in this world is nothing but holy names. That was one of the things that really inspired me about Krishna consciousness, and still inspires me about Krishna consciousness. that when I'm chanting, I can have my best friend with me, someone who I can take shelter of. I can have ultimate, let's say, shelter in each and every circumstance. Nobody can take that away from me. I can chant in my mind. I can chant out loud. I can chant softly. I can hear. And when I'm with the holy names, then everything else disappears except for Krishna and the holy name and my relationship with Krishna. So that's the secret. That's the universal secret. Okay, who else has a question here? Here we go. Abhinandani Hare Krishna Maharaj. In scriptures, it is often mentioned with particular pastimes that whoever hears that pastime of the Lord will get liberation from the material world. But at the same time, we're told that to go back home, we need to develop pure love of Supreme Lord. How to reconcile these 2 points? One seems hearing pastime a very easy way out of this material world, while the other, developing pure love, nearly, probably impossible. Yeah, impossible is the word. The answer to that question is, first of all, what she's referring to is something called the Shruti Pala. At the end of many chapters, perhaps most chapters in the Puranas, you'll have a benediction. Shruti Pala means like the fruit of hearing, a benediction for someone who hears that particular pastime. Yes, and that benediction will come true. But it will not be, in most cases, immediate. It will take some time. So you still have to perform bhakti yoga. You still have to work on your anarthas. You still have to dedicate yourself to Krishna and struggle and everything like that. But your destination is assured. But it could take 10 lifetimes. It could take 100 lifetimes. It could take 1,000 lifetimes. That is up to you. You have the blessing to do it in this one lifetime. Okay? So those benedictions are real, but they don't say immediately you'll go back to God in the same seconds. You may have to wait. So that's a good question. So, yes, you have to wait a long time. So who else has another question? Anybody can write your question, raise your hand, or you can speak up. I can see if you do any of the three things on my screen. I can see the hands raised, I can see the chat window, or I can see if you've unmuted yourself. Now, if not, then I guess we can end because it's time to end, and we'll see everybody tomorrow evening, the same time. Tomorrow evening I have to end exactly at 6 because we have a program for the Vyasa Puja of His Holiness Bhakti Chumaraj, a very important program. You're all invited to join us for that program. And I'll be hopefully speaking a little bit during that program and participating in that program. Another question is, does Krishna sometimes turn the tables on Srimati Radharani? Yes. Sometimes Krishna plays his flute and then that controls Srimati Radharani. She becomes like, and the gopis become like dancing dolls. Are we capable of hate? Yes. Gopal Cohen says, he controlling her? Yes. Sometimes that happens too. That's mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the 29th chapter of the Bhagavatam. It's mentioned when Krishna plays his flute. That's the beginning of the Rasa dance description. If we are made in the image of God, does he hate? That's an interesting question. Not in the same way we do, but he gets angry with people who hurt his devotees. I wouldn't say hate is something that's on the material world, but the pure expression of that in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is getting really angry. And he can get angry. But his anger is pure, his anger is purifying, and those who get wiped out by Krishna get purified too. Okay, let us end, because we have things to do. Thank you very much. All glories is mine, grace, Srila Prabhupada. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening.